In this episode, we're actually going to revisit an interview I did with the lovely Libby Page during lockdown. Little did we know that lockdown was going to last for so long when I spoke to her. But since then, she's had a book out called The Island Home. So definitely give that a read. And I hope you enjoy the episode. Hey, hi, Libby. It's so lovely to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
How have you been finding lockdown?
Mixed. I mean, in some ways I am was quite well prepared for it in that I work at home anyway. And, you know, I'm very lucky to have a little working space. So compared to a lot of people, it wasn't actually that much of a change for me. Of course, though, you know, like everyone, I've definitely been missing friends and family and, you know, everyday life. But I definitely feel like I can't complain. I think I've been very lucky with my experience of it compared to a lot of people.
Yeah, I hear you. It's so difficult, isn't it? At first, it was kind of like, what are we going to miss? What's going to happen? But I think now at the end of it, I'm starting to feel a bit more grateful for the situation I've been in. But except for obviously, well, we had to cancel our wedding.
Yeah.
Sad. Well, have you had the same thing?
Yes. Well, I say cancel, I mean we've postponed it.
Yes.
Unsure when it will happen. So yeah, I feel for you. I know it's you know, you think in the grand scheme of things, of course, everyone's health is definitely the most important thing, but I know how much time and love and planning goes into it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel for you. We did a little virtual ceremony though. We got dressed up and had our family join us on Skype. So that was quite nice.
Oh, that's so lovely. And it's nice that you can still do that type of thing.
Exactly. Thank goodness for technology.
I know. I was thinking that. I was like, we're actually in a good situation right now with all the technology. Anyway, I'd love to dive into some questions. So it would be great to know a little bit more about how you became a writer. And had you always wanted to be an author?
Yes, so I've always wanted to be an author. I think as soon as I realised that the books I loved reading as children had been written by someone and that you could actually do that as a job, I thought, yeah, that's the career for me. So yeah, I mean, if you asked me as a child what I wanted to be, I would always have said author. But I guess as I got a little bit older, I realised that it perhaps isn't as straightforward as that. It's not like you just go out and suddenly become an author and that's your career. It's, you know, extremely competitive. And I read all the statistics about how few books actually get published and then how few authors are able to make a living out of it. So I guess I got a bit disheartened and thought, okay, I didn't give up on the dream exactly, but I thought I'm going to need another career as well. So I trained as a journalist and did that for a while. But I think I found that actually writing every day for my job meant I didn't have so much time or headspace to do the creative writing that I'd always particularly loved. So I took a bit of a career change and went and worked in marketing. And it was while doing that I started writing The Lido.
And did you, when you say you started writing it during that job, did you kind of make time during the day, specific times like in the morning where you would write?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, an advantage of that job was it was much more of a 9-to-5 job and something that, you know, I'd put all my energy into when I was there. But then when I left, it wasn't really taking up kind of my headspace, my energy. So, yeah, I would set an alarm for an hour before work and get up and do some writing. I'd bring my laptop in and do some work in my lunch break. And then, you know, weekends, holidays, just, yeah, really carving out the time. Because I think as soon as I knew, okay, I actually want to write a novel, I realised that it takes a long time. Unless you prioritise it, it just won't happen, really. There are so many other things that can take up your time. So, yeah, it definitely was a case of carving out those slots around my job.
That's a really nice point, because I think sometimes whenever you've got a kind of dream that you want, you think, right, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to move on and do X, Y, and Z. But actually, you need to start building it, and you still have to make a living on a daily basis. So carving out that time to do anything that you love, I think, is really, really important.
And I think it can be hard when, you know, when I started writing The Lido, I never thought that it would get published. I was just doing it because I wanted to. And I think sometimes when you have those passions that are in a way a side project to your, you know, the way that you earn a living, it can sometimes feel, I don't know, a bit silly to prioritize it. And, you know, I sometimes felt a bit bored when I said to friends, or, you know, actually I can't come out this weekend because I really need to crack on with my novel, you know.
Yeah,
it's silly, but actually if you really are passionate about it, you kind of have to do that, really.
Yeah, no, but I love that that's how you've done it and you've prioritized that time. And I'm sure your friends now are like, we understand. Yeah. Okay, well, let's definitely talk about The Lido then, because it was Sunday Times bestseller. It was a huge success. I personally found it was beautifully written and extremely honest. But how was the whole experience of writing The Lido for you, and then kind of the success that came out of it? Were you expecting that?
Well, firstly, thank you. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. I mean, no, I was definitely not expecting it. Firstly, I wasn't expecting it to get published at all. Obviously, that, you know, it was a dream of mine to be a published author, but I certainly didn't think it was that much of a realistic dream. And then when I did get published, I never thought that it would be on that scale. And, you know, to be in the Sunday Times list the first week that it came out, I mean, was just incredible, and you know, something I'll always remember and feel so grateful to have experienced. Yeah, it was definitely a bit of a whirlwind.
Yeah, I can totally imagine. I mean, for me, it was quite a nostalgic experience because I used to live in Brixton and I used to go to the Lido quite a lot. And I found your descriptions of the markets very vivid and accurate. And I just felt like I was back in there understanding what was happening.
Oh, that's good to hear.
So there's a theme in The Lido, which is the relationship between Kate and Rosemary. And it's really unique. And I loved that that was kind of the core friendship within the book. What inspired you to tell that story specifically?
So I think friendship is something that I will always want to write about. It's something that I think is so important to our lives. And I think perhaps isn't always given the same weight as, you know, perhaps romantic love. You know, there are so many focus specifically on kind of boy meet girl type scenario, which, you know, is nice as well. But I think the bonds of friendship are so important, and definitely something I wanted to write about. And I guess an unlikely friendship. So, you know, Kate being 26 and Rosemary being 86 is perhaps not a friendship that you would imagine happening. And yet, through my own experiences of visiting Lido, so I'm a keen outdoor swimmer, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really found inspiring about the Lido and, you know, Lidos in general are, you know, you have people of all ages, all backgrounds, and it's often the kind of older women who are there in their swimming costumes when there are kind of middle-aged men on the side in their wetsuits who are, you know, really strong, impressive, powerful women. And I love that idea of the fact that you actually could, a 26-year-old could start chatting in the changing rooms or in the pool to an older woman and form this bond. And I guess also the idea of how both of the characters can learn from each other, that at the start of the book, they're both very lonely for different reasons. And I like the idea of, you know, how can different generations kind of bring different perspectives to one another while still having a friendship that is just as strong and just as, you know, full of shared interests and things as a friendship, you know, between someone who is the same age as you.
Yeah, that's so lovely. And I think the fact that it's set in a Lido, as you say, it's also one of those spaces that I find is the least judgmental place to be. Mm-hmm. Kind of everyone of different ages and everyone feels empowered to go. And that story between them two just really captured me during the book. So there is another hard-hitting theme in there. So obviously the book highlights a little bit how derailing anxiety can be, which I think a lot of people can relate to. And the descriptions of how Kate struggled with her daily life were really honest. How important was it for you to cover that theme of anxiety within the book?
It was very important. I mean, it's something that I have struggled with myself, specifically panic attacks, and I describe them in the book. And I think I wanted it to feel realistic so that people who are going through that as well can read it and feel like, A, you know, they're not alone. This is something that so many people experience, but also hopefully that it's something you can overcome, that, you know, there are ways to kind of just feel better. And, you know, things like swimming can be such a great antidote. And that's certainly what Kate finds in the book and what I found myself. And I think, you know, I felt a sense of mental health issues generally are something that's so prevalent in today's society, and you know, particularly young people experiencing both anxiety and loneliness as well, perhaps more than people might imagine. So I felt like it was definitely something that I wanted to explore in the book, and perhaps, you know, create conversations afterwards. I mean, even in my own life, I've since writing the book, you know, I didn't tell a lot of people that I struggled with panic attacks. And now lots of my friends who I've had for years have revealed that they do as well. You know, they've been through similar struggles. And I think to be able to start those conversations is something that's really important to me.
I think that's really nice. And you touched on a good point there, which is about how we often don't realise how lonely some younger people can be. And especially if you're in a shared house and you don't really know the people you live with. There was a lot of scenes during the book where she's kind of just goes straight to her bedroom and sits on her own, and it doesn't matter what age you are.
Yeah, it doesn't discriminate loneliness. I think it can hit you any time, and it can come back at unexpected times. You know, I felt very lonely when I first moved to London, very similarly to Kate. But then over time, you know, built up a community, built up a group of friends. But then when I started working from home, I suddenly actually had an unexpected experience of going back to some of those feelings again, because I wasn't surrounded by colleagues. And I'm sure it's something that a lot of people have been struggling with during lockdown. It's certainly been really, has meant a lot to me to read of, to hear of readers who've kind of gone back and discovered the Lido now and found some sort of comfort in that, in those themes of, you know, community and friendship and how they can be an antidote to loneliness.
Yeah, that's a really nice point. It's so interesting because when I first moved to London, I was exactly the same. I felt very lonely for quite a long time because it can be quite a lonely place. But then you start to build up your hobbies and your community and you start to find yourself again. So I felt like I was reading a book about me. I know that's really selfish, but I was like, yes.
You know, that's what I want in a way. I think it's, you know, you want to connect with people and to feel like this feels like a real story. So that's nice to hear.
Right, I'll jump into the next questions. This is so interesting. I could talk to you for hours because I love the book, but I know that I've got to confine this into a short interview. Okay, so you've got a new book out, The 24-Hour Cafe. Would you like to tell listeners a little bit more about that book and what inspired you to write this one?
Yes, so The 24-Hour Cafe, as you might guess from the title, is set in a 24-hour cafe on Liverpool Street in East London. And it tells the story of Hannah and Mona, who are two friends and waitresses who work there. And they, as well as being waitresses, they both have dreams of kind of another kind of life. So Hannah wanting to be a singer, Mona a dancer. So it's a lot about that kind of struggle between the job that pays the bills, but also that having a passion that really drives you. It's also about their friendship and the ups and downs that you go through in a long friendship. Perhaps in the same way in a romantic relationship, you know, you have that real honeymoon period, but then you kind of hit challenges. And I really wanted to explore that in a female friendship over many years. So as well as the two main characters, you have sort of little snapshots of other characters who come in throughout a specific 24-hour period. I guess I wanted to create a sense of that bustling atmosphere of a busy cafe in the city, something that I'm very much missing at the moment. And I think that was part of the inspiration, really, is just how much I love going into cafes and people watching and just imagining the stories of the people around me. Because I think, you know, in a city, your life brushes up alongside so many other people's, and you might not think it to look at people, but actually you may have so many things in common, you know, may have gone through similar experiences, be feeling similar ways. And I really wanted to explore that idea of, I guess, how much we have in common and all those sort of very human experiences and emotions that unite us.
Mm. Was there a specific cafe you had in mind that in your head you based it on?
So there is actually a 24-hour cafe in on Liverpool Street called Polo. So I guess I sort of took, I think one of the great things about writing fiction is that you can kind of take some elements of truth, but also fabricate it to how you want it to be. So the location definitely inspired Stella's Cafe, but Stella's Cafe is fictional. It's kind of using bits of various cafes that I visited and kind of pulled together to make my sort of ideal 24-hour cafe, really.
Love that. There's some, there in London especially, there's magic to some of the cafes, isn't there? There's just a real buzz, and you can kind of see that in the writing. But was it challenging kind of setting it within a 24-hour period?
Yes, it was. So yes, logistically it was very difficult, because as well as all of the action takes place in 24 hours, but you also have flashbacks to Hannah and Mona's stories. So I wanted to make sure I gave enough of their backstory to make you really kind of engage and root for them. So balancing that with what's happening in the present day. And also there are lots of different characters. So just weaving it all together in a way that hopefully feels still pacey and satisfying to the reader was definitely a challenge. But that was part of the start of the idea for me. I really liked the idea of challenging myself with a kind of more unique structure to the book, really, than I'd ever done before.
Yeah, I'm committed now. I'm in it.
It definitely required a lot of editing. I had a massive pin board with each hour in the book, and then who was going to be there, what was happening, and I guess creating a balance so that hopefully you have a balance of emotions and different types of stories throughout the 24-hour period. So yes, it was a logistical challenge, but hopefully I hope it paid off. Well,
you've pulled it off. With the success of the Lido, the first book, were you scared writing a second book?
Yes. I mean, I always wanted to write more. You know, I as I said, I've always wanted to be an author. So it's not like the Lido is the only kind of story idea I had. I had plenty of other ideas, but I think unlike the Lido, where I just sat and wrote it with no expectations, with the 24-hour cafe, I very much had readers' comments in my head. And on the one hand, it's an amazing thing, because now I have real readers who've got in touch and said lovely things about the Lido, which is just the most amazing feeling. But I guess I felt a responsibility. You know, I really wanted to make sure they enjoyed this one as well. And not wanting to let down either readers or the publisher. But I think at the end of the day, I had to just write the story that I most wanted to write and that felt most authentic, because that's how the Lido came about. And I actually had a false start with the 24-hour cafe, where I started writing another idea that was an idea that I thought the publisher would like, but I had kind of manufactured it. And then on the side, I was writing the 24-hour cafe secretly, just as my kind of passion project, I guess. And I reached the point where I was like, oh, maybe the thing I'm sneaking off to write in my spare time, just because I really want to, is the thing that I should write as my next novel. So I changed course, and it was much easier after that, because I was writing something that I was genuinely really passionate about.
Isn't that interesting? There's a lesson there, isn't it, about focusing on the things that you're passionate about? And I guess with the first book, there was no real pressure, because you just really wanted to write it. You were so excited for it to be published, but you didn't know if it would be successful. Whereas with this one, there is that added pressure.
An obligation to finish it. Just the act of writing a novel is a very long and sometimes arduous process. And with the Lido, although I very much wanted to finish it for my own sense of satisfaction and to try and push it forwards, if I didn't, nothing would happen. Whereas with the 24-hour cafe, on a very practical level, I was very fortunate to have been paid in advance for it. So if I didn't finish it, I would have to pay that back. So, there is a kind of emotional and financial obligation and pressure that wasn't there before. But of course, in many ways it was a lot easier, because I was so lucky to be doing it as my full-time job. So, I had so much more time. There was no having to get up at, 5 in the morning to work, to write before work. I was extremely lucky to be able to do it full time. So yeah, on that side, it was easier than the Lido.
Yeah. Okay. So I was thinking, for any listeners that are interested in becoming a writer, do you have any advice for them or any tips you could potentially give them?
I mean, it's an obvious one, but I think just reading and writing as much as possible. I know a lot of authors choose to do creative writing courses, masters, and there are certainly lots of those out there that for some people can be great. I personally have never done anything like that, and I think you don't have to do something like that. I think if you read enough, you instinctively pick up a sense of what makes a good story and you know, what makes good characters and all those things that you just enjoy in your own reading. So I think reading a lot, writing, I mean, that's again seems an obvious one, but I think just getting into the habit of doing it is so important. I think actually so much of writing, probably like so many creative things, inspiration is important, but I think actually it's a very kind of practical thing as well, of just forcing yourself to sit down every day and do it. I kind of think actually if you sit down every day and write 1,000 words, 500 words, you know, whatever it is, eventually you will write a book. That is kind of as simple as it gets, really. It's just a case of doing it. And I think sometimes that can require, as I said earlier, you know, prioritization of just making it something that's important in your life and really dedicating the time to do it. I am very sad. So something that helped me is I had a little star chart. So for every 1,000 words I wrote, I gave myself a little star. And it sounds so silly, but actually, you know, a novel involves a lot of words and it can feel quite demoralizing when you're at the beginning. Feel like, oh gosh, you know, I'm not making any progress. There's still so much to do. Whereas I think having some form of tracking your progress can really help motivate you and keep you on track and keep you feel like you are getting somewhere with it. So yeah, I guess those would be my main pieces of advice, really, and just perseverance. It's something that both actually getting the, you know, the thing written, but then the step that comes afterwards, if you do want to try and get published, both require a lot of perseverance and just not giving up, really. So yes, I think that would be my advice, and good luck to anyone who, you know, is an aspiring writer. And I guess I'd just say, you know, take heart that it's something that I have always wanted to do but never really imagined would actually end up being my career. So I just feel like if it, you know, if it can happen to me, there's no reason why it can't happen to you as well, if you just work hard at it.
Oh, that's really nice. And I think it's such a daunting task, anything like that, following one of your passions, especially writing a book. So just taking it day by day and just, like you said, it's as simple as you need to write, you know. So what's next for you? Are you allowed to share with us what's happening?
working on, I'm actually editing my third book at the moment. Unfortunately, can't really talk too much about it, other than, you know, it's a book by me. So I think it will have similar themes, because, you know, things like friendship, community, these are things that I'm really passionate about. So I think they'll always crop up in my books. It has a slightly different location to my previous two. So that's hopefully something that I will be excited to talk about more when I can. But yes, just working on that, really, and then looking ahead to the next book as well.
Oh, exciting. Yeah, don't worry, I was fishing for info.
It's so hard though, because I just am desperate to talk about it because I'm working on it all the time. But yes, there'll be, I think it won't be too long before you know, more details start coming out about it.
Oh, okay, exciting. Well, watch this space, everybody. Okay, so I'd love to close on a question that I ask every guest. Is there anything you do on a daily basis that's just a non-negotiable for you? Something that perhaps makes you feel good or helps with creativity?
For me, it's exercise. So whether it's running, swimming, yoga, I've been doing lots of at-home workouts at the moment, just anything to get myself moving. I find that, I mean, just for my mental well-being, if I don't do some form of exercise each day, I just don't feel myself. I don't feel creative. And it's just, I mean, for me, it's completely essential just for my general, you know, getting through each day. But I think anything creative, whether it's writing or, you know, whatever it is that you, you know, that your creative passion is, I think it's very hard to feel creative if you don't feel mentally in a really good headspace. So yeah, for me, it's exercise. And it also sometimes helps more directly with my writing, that I often find if I'm stuck with a plot point or something, if I go for a swim or a walk, I find that by the end of it, I've come up with a new idea or a solution to a problem. So yeah, that's definitely my non-negotiable thing.
Oh, brilliant. It's been really hard during lockdown as well, because obviously all the swimming pools are closed, the lighters have been closed. So everyone's had to find a different way of exercising.
I've been doing Ping with Joe workouts, which I know are aimed at children, but they're very hard. I've been doing them. I think just that routine of it, that for me, it's partly a routine thing as well, of exercising as soon as I get up. So yeah, I definitely miss and going out for long runs and things like that. I've really missed during lockdown, but you know, whatever it is, even if it's just a few, like jogging around my very small living room, just something to get me feeling energized.
Oh, don't worry. I tried one of those Joe Wicks ones and I was like, I thought these were for children. They're so difficult.
Children have a lot of energy, so it's probably not fair to compare myself to how a child would manage.
Oh, so funny. Well, look, it's been so lovely chatting to you, and it's been great to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to chat to you.
Thank you. Okay, well, what I'll do after this is I'll share your Instagram page and a link to your books, and then listeners can go out and buy them.
Perfect. Thank you.